Good morning, everyone. Are you all full from a good breakfast? I want to thank those who put that together. That was a great blessing for all of us. I want to also thank Pastor Dan and Tim Huffan and everyone else who stepped in while Dawn and I were away for a few weeks trying to get some things done. I really appreciate the time away, and it's good to be back here. Bible Baptist Church, amen. I was watching you guys. Yeah, keeping an eye on you. I also was keeping an eye on some other folks around the state as well. It was fun to go down and visit some of those people. Well, this morning, I just wanted to start out by giving a quote that you know very well. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, that's a very loving act, thank you, knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. And where's that found? 1 John 4:7-8. That used to be a song we sung in a youth group years ago. How many of you sung that in youth group? Remember that? Boy, we're going to talk to your youth pastors. I got four or five out there. Do I have another one? Oh, never mind. All right, we're good. Yeah, but that is going to kind of be the central idea here, because we're going to talk about relationships. If you have your Bibles, you're going to need to turn to 2 Corinthians. It's on the board there, chapter 6, verses 14 through chapter 7 and verse 1. Would you pray with me, though, before we get started? Lord, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for it worldwide. I'm thinking that all around the world, some folks have already had their services on the other side of the world, and they're into the evening, and now there have been some that have had in the early morning, and it's our turn, and others are still probably in bed or just getting up, and we pray that Christ will be honored and glorified, that you will do an amazing work, that you will call your people to yourself, that we'll see the church purified, we'll see the nations bow their knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We'll see lives changed around the world today, this day, and even now in our city, and even here, Lord, we ask that you will speak to our hearts, because as the song was sung so well, we need you, Lord, how we need you. In the name of Christ, our Savior, amen. Well, from the very beginning of time in Genesis, we know that God has designed relationships because they take a center stage right away. We see that in the development and the design of man himself, made in the image of God. When you think about God, what is God? We just quoted it. God is love. God is all about love. It's a part of his character. So he, as a loving person, interacts and created and designed man to be a loving individual as well. And he created woman in the same way. And so now a great healthy relationship can be defined as that which comes from God, is driven by God, designed by God for the glory of God. But for you and I to have a healthy relationship, we have to have a healthy relationship with God as well. So when Adam and Eve betrayed God's love, when that sin was introduced in the world, the consequences were severe. And relationships got all messed up. We've been struggling with them ever since. It has just been a tough hoe, hasn't it? As hard as we try, even Christians, to follow the word and want to do the right thing, it's tough. This is very interesting information I read on a Barna survey recently. Barna wrote this. He did a survey. These are in the evangelical Christian community, okay? That's the context. So these are people who claim that Jesus is the Lord is the Christ, and the salvation is through him. Okay, these are the people the answers came from. It says, a survey that was done on significant relationships, 44% of evangelicals said their church was their primary social group. Now you have to think and chew on that for a little while. At first, I didn't think much about it. I said, oh, well. But then the more I thought about it in light of Scripture, I thought, that seems pretty low. We're the body of Christ. We're brothers and sisters. We're called into unity to work one with another. Our relationships, now we have all kinds of relationships, but the question was significant relationships, important ones, ones that we really focus in on and spend a lot of time with. And I thought, whoa, really? If you think that's interesting, listen to this one. Only one third of the evangelicals listed God as being an important relationship. And we wonder why we have problems. I'm surprised the people were so honest. Maybe because, you know, they don't know who's giving them or whatever. But I'm thinking, wow. So Jesus answered this question early on in his own ministry. You can read it in several passages. But in Matthew 22, a question is asked to Jesus, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment," right? What's the central thing? What's the big idea? And what does he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Sounds like relationships, doesn't it? Going right back to Genesis, the very thing I designed and created so that we can interact and so you can interact with one another. That's what's being busted. He said everything else, all the other commandments depend on those two things. Loving God and loving others. Loving God and loving others. So it seems clear that spiritual health is evidenced by how well we love God and how well we love others. Now, with that being said, 2 Corinthians 6, Paul is jumping into something that this is a very interesting text. I'm going to read through it and then we're going to walk through it. Beginning in chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says this, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God." You read that text, especially that first verse, I know what comes to mind. Don't be unequally yoked with believers. We use that, I would say, almost all the time in regard to marriage. That's where we go. That's not a bad application, but I'm here to tell you that wasn't Paul's intent from the beginning in writing this, okay? That was an application, but that's not what it's about. Remember the context. What's Paul been dealing with in 2 Corinthians? He's been dealing with these false teachers that have come into the church. They've attacked him personally. They've attacked his message and his preaching. And they're trying to come up with all new kinds of teachings, different ways to be a Christian. It's okay if you practice this as long as, you know, acknowledge that God is God. It's okay if you do this, that, and the other thing. And Paul's going, what are you talking about? That's why that whole middle section, the verse 14 and 7:1, they're the bookends, but the whole center there is about walking in holiness. Now, you can't connect yourself with that. And so we think about this being, oh my, no, it's not necessarily about marriage. It's applied to marriage. This principle is about a relationship that you and I have with God and with other people. Marriage will take care of itself if that's right. I got no problem with it. I've used it before. I say, you know, you probably shouldn't marry an unbeliever. But I want you to know, we miss so much if you leave it there. This is much deeper than just an application to marriage. I'm telling you what, you and I can be married to a lot of things in our lives. There may have been no formal ceremony in front of the church and witnesses, but we marry ourselves to things. That's what Paul talking about. That's what he's talking about. So when we think about that, I hope I got this on. All right. There's a power button here, isn't there? And it says on, and I advance the slide. I push down, I push up, I push sideways, and there it is. We talk about this whole idea is about relationships today, loving God, loving others. And you can't have a healthy relationship until your relationship with God is healthy. Period. So whatever marriage counseling you want to get into, that's fine. As an application, that's the first thing. Doesn't matter. I even have two people on there. They might give a Christian testimony, which is great. I said, well, okay, they've given a Christian testimony, right? Praise the Lord. But I would even look at them even past that and say, okay, how's your relationship with God as a Christian then? I don't stop there. Oh, you're both Christians. Let's get married. No, that's going to be a disaster. I know too many Christians that get married and end up getting divorced. It was a disaster. There's a lot of reasons for the divorce. I understand that. I'm just saying it's not a guarantee we're both Christians, we're going to be fine. No, it's about a relationship with your God. That's what makes it healthy. Remember, go back to Genesis. Who designed it? Who designed the relationship? Who made it? And so who makes it complete? It's God. And people sometimes in the name of God do certain things and follow certain ways, but they don't realize that it is God is the one who holds all things together. So we have this whole thing. I guess you could put it another way too. You could say, well, what are you yoked to? Oh my goodness, we have slides that are missing and I got all these fun things going on here. All right, so I don't know what happened. That's all right. I'm going to work my way through this the best I can. You know how much media loves me. Yeah, I have 6 or 7 slides that are completely gone from this, I'm sure. All right, that's all right. Praise God, because I have a healthy relationship. Well, I will ask the question now, if it'll work. So the question really is, what are you yoked to? You say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, that's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you if you're a Christian. Okay, I'm glad you're a Christian. Praise God. Christian, let me go with that. Christian! What are you yoked to? We'll talk about that in a minute. Yoked, and that sounds kind of funny. So here's yoking. If you go back in the passage here, right, it says, don't be unequally yoked. Actually, in Deuteronomy, this is forbidden. Listen to this. You don't have to turn to Deuteronomy 22. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Why? Who cares? Well, there's probably some practical things about hooking up different animals together. They may not like each other. They may be different sizes, different power, different speeds. That's not what he's talking about, though, all right? I don't think he was concerned about that. It was a good picture for Israel that some things just don't go together, all right? It would be like putting Nancy Pelosi on that yoke and Donald Trump on that one. Now, they can pull, but they probably won't pull together. All right? They'll not have a fighting. It'll be a mess. Now, in a spiritual sense, okay, can we go there for a minute? Think about it. He's saying to the nation, there are some things that you as a follower of God shouldn't be hooked up with. I don't care how it looks. Maybe it seems all innocent and fine. Don't have anything to do with it. Of course, in 2 Corinthians here, there's a whole list of things in that middle section that he kind of walks through that we have no business being partners with. We shouldn't be yoked together with them. He's basically saying, you need to guard your heart. I need to guard my heart against anything that is contrary to God or his word. I can't be a part of that. Anything that's going to harm that relationship with your creator, even if it is, can I use the word neutral? If that thing harms your walk with God, if that thing is harming someone else who's looking for a relationship with God or is trying to grow in their relationship with God, you shouldn't be a part of it. You should lay down your freedoms for the good of the body of Christ and the testimony of Jesus Christ. But Paul is really talking about things that have power over us. So I want you to understand that. When we talk about yoking here now, I'm talking about things that have power over you, that are controlling you. The sad thing about it is there's a lot of things that control us that we don't even realize it. Just, we've grown up with it. It's been bad habits or whatever, and they just sort of guide the way we think. Probably remember this. One of my many jobs in seminary, I was assistant veterinarian. That pretty much means I just take care of the animals, all right? So I took care of the animals and cleaned them and combed them and medicated them and washed them and bathed them and walked them and fed them and took care of all their whatever was going on the doctor told me to do. So that was it. And there was a huge place where the animals would be kept. One of the dogs that was there regularly was this Rottweiler. He was about 9 or 10 months old. He was the friendliest dog you'd ever want to meet. So he was basically a puppy, except for one thing. When he stood on his hind legs, he looked right at me. He was not quite as thick as a Rottweiler, but he was big and tall. He was around 90 pounds, maybe to 100 pounds. He was big, big dog, and he was a puppy. He acted like a puppy. Oh, he was hard to walk. One evening, I said, "Don, I got to go feed the animals. Come in with me. You can help me walk the dogs." She said, "Great, that sounds fun." She loves animals. Go in there and, yeah, we walked this little dog and this dog here and all that. And I said, "Hey, there's a puppy in run number 3 or what, I don't remember the number, but his name is Max. He looks scary, but he's a baby, trust me. He'll lick you to death before he do anything else." So I said, I'll hook him up and you just take him right to the courtyard. So she did. So this is basically kind of what happened, if I've got the right picture. I'm not exaggerating. Yeah, Max took Dawn for a walk or a drag. It was so funny. It was almost as good as the lawnmower story. I'll have to tell you another time. But that was hilarious. And I'm just there, and she's looking at me. And, of course, you know I'm already in trouble, so you might as well enjoy it, right? So I get all I can out of it because I'm going to get it when I get home anyway. So I did, and that's it. So we talk about that, but really, and it is funny, and it was funny to watch. But I got to get off this picture, or you're never going to get on. Yeah, it's not funny when the person that's being dragged away from God, is it? No, that's when it's not funny at all. Don't we know people that are like that? They think that this is going to be fun. Something they're going to do, it could be a thing, or it could be a relationship, a person, and it's not a healthy thing at all, and yet they think it is, and when they get that leash around the neck, who's controlling who, right? How many of you, because I have my list, how many of you have had things that have you thought you were control over, but they really controlled you? I give you silly illustrations. I had a friend one time that drunk, I believe, 2 32-ounce, or maybe the 48, one of those big plastic soda things they sell at the store. How many ounces are in there? 48? 32, I don't know. It was about that big. Whatever they are. He drank 2 a day. A day. I know, that seems like a silly thing. And yet, when he was told by this doctor, "You better stop," he had a problem. It was an addiction he didn't know he had. Between the sugar and the caffeine and whatever else is in Mountain Dew. And I'm not against Mountain Dew. I'm just saying that much of anything can be good for you, except ices. Those are good for you. So he had that going on. That's a silly one. We could put in a lot more, can't we? We think that we got a control of something. I can stop this anytime I want, but it's not, because we're yoked to it and it doesn't want to let go of us. Now, that's true for things. It's true for people. And I'm so glad our young people are here, and I'm so glad they're up here singing and leading in worship. That's awesome, isn't it? Praise the Lord. That's right. Amen. Thank you, guys. This is for everybody, but I really want them to listen to me. I'm just going to let them have it. So here it comes, all right? You need to be careful who your friends are. You need to be friendly to everybody. This gets so messed up. And I don't know how many, I repeat it 100 times, and kids get upset because they think I'm telling them not to have friends. I am not telling them not to have friends. I am telling you, be careful who your close friends are. Be careful who the people you let into the windows of your heart and you connect with on more of a deeper level. You should be friendly to everyone. I remember this. It wasn't that long ago when I was in high school. I remember all that stuff. I had lots of friends, all kinds of friends, and not all of them were necessarily good for me. Okay? You got to know this. And so Paul here is trying to say, you want to be careful about yoking up or becoming connected with in a close, intimate way where people have power or influence in your thinking and in your actions. You don't want to have someone to be in your life that will do that. You say, well, that person doesn't do anything bad necessarily. That is not Paul's standard, though. See, that's the point. We say the standard, well, I didn't do anything bad. Okay, well, praise God. We're glad you didn't do anything bad, but that's not the standard. The standard is your friend, it's the person that you hang with, I'm talking to everyone now, and that you're with, are they helping you become more like Jesus Christ? You say, well, I don't have too many friends like that. Okay, then your role, my role, is to be very friendly and loving to those friends with one main goal, bringing them to the knowledge of faith in Jesus Christ. So we could spend and waste 4 years in high school or many other years being friendly but never bringing the message of the gospel to them. That's just, you've got life that God has given you to give to someone else. Paul says, don't hook up with people that are just nice necessarily at that level. We need to be redemptive, evangelistic, loving, friendly, but always for the purpose of Christ. So he says, look, you shouldn't do this because if you do, it's going to send you down a wrong path. You don't want that. A couple biblical examples. See, now we can get past this. It's still funny looking, isn't it? All right. You remember this guy, right? This guy had relationship issues. Man, a psychologist could have written a book on him. So Samson here, he's a Jew, okay? What does he do? He goes and, first of all, marries a Philistine. What are you doing? So, but I love him. Oh, excuse me, that's not Samson's voice. I'm sorry. But I love her. Is that better? I'm going to sound like that Muppet. Hello there, how are you doing? Sorry. So we have Samson here, and he just, as a Jew, he says, but I love her. She's a Philistine, but I love her. She's a Philistine, oh, I'm going to witness to her. She's a Philistine. You're not supposed to hook up at that level with that. It should be another believer. That's where the application of the principle comes in right here. So he's like, nah, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Well, that marriage didn't last very long, and it was over quickly. Then Samson, of course, he learned his lesson, right? You would hope. You know people like that? Maybe someone close to you. So he goes to Gaza instead, and he hooks up with some prostitute. We don't really know much about that story. That's pretty much all we're told. She's just not in the picture after that scene. Well, that didn't work, so he falls in love with someone else. Now, this is the right woman. The third round's the best round. So here we go. And you know who it is. It's Delilah. Well, okay. Well, Delilah spent most of her time trying to get rich off of turning him over. and that didn't work well. And he had serious consequences because he was yoking himself up or connecting himself up with people he shouldn't have been hanging around. They're just my friends. Paul said this about that. Bad company corrupts good character. I'm going to say it again. Bad company corrupts good character. So if your friends are not helping you develop you and to become more like Christ, you need to make sure that that relationship, that friendly relationship that you have with them, and there's nothing wrong with having unsaved friends. I'm not saying I think it's good. But your desire is to pray and to seek ways to share the Lord Jesus with them so that you can have a true, healthy relationship. Because remember the beginning, the only relationship that's healthy is one with God in it. That's it. You take God out of the picture, you just got us. We haven't done a good job in the world of relationships, and we're doing even worse between nations, aren't we, these days? It's because we decide we don't need God. So Samson got in a serious relationship that he shouldn't have with a person he shouldn't have been hanging around. And whether you love them or not is not the question. I'll say it again. Whether you love them or not is not the question. But are you in the right place with Jesus Christ? And are they in the right place with Jesus Christ? Now, I'm going to take this one step further and make a lot of people really mad, probably. I'm going to apply this to Christians, to Christians. There could be situations where we have two Christians that one is walking with the Lord or seeking to. They're maturing and growing. We're all sinners saved by grace, but we're wanting to go that direction. And you can have another Christian that wants nothing to do or acting like a Christian. They should not be your best friend. I know you don't like hearing this stuff. I'm just telling you. You could be friendly to them. You can encourage them. You can pray for them. You can even go out and connect with them on certain things to do that are safe. But your goal there is to help bring them back to repentance with their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what. You think for one minute, I don't know how many times I've been down this road with married couples or with people wanting to get married, or with dating couples, thinking, I'm going to change her. I'm going to change him. You know what the percentage is on that? It's not zero, but it's pretty close. Pretty close. Doesn't happen. And your great love is not going to make any of the difference, because the thing that is missing is God. Healthy relationships demand that Jesus Christ is in the center. That's it. You say, well, I know people that aren't saved that are happy and doing well. I do too. But in the light of Scripture, it's not healthy, because at the end of the day when they stand before God and they have not trusted in His Son, their relationship on earth will mean nothing for eternity. I would say that they are being blessed because they are probably following, most of them, many of them at least, just principles that are good and sound, and you might even find them in the Bible, and they're blessed by that. Anybody can get that, whether you're Christian or not, but it's not healthy. So we have him, Samson, and it doesn't work out very well. But in the New Testament, also has one as well. Here's a guy you know from Mark. It's a story of the rich guy. I was trying to think of the Elon Musk. Is that his name? Yeah, so we had Elon here. He's rich, isn't he? I don't know what he's worth. Somebody said like $1 billion, or is it more than 100 billion? Trillion? I feel like my son's giving me a bidding war over here. Five, you win! Let's just say he's very rich. Well, now this guy, I just want you to think about that. As you think about rich people, well, for me, anybody rich is someone who has two cars. That's rich, right? So it's all relative, right? So we all understand what rich means, but this is a rich guy. So he's one of those guys that has a lot of money. He comes to Jesus. You know the story so well. I love this story, and I love reading it over and over because it's powerful. Jesus loves this guy. So there's something about him. He seems sincere. I think Jesus said, man, this guy is, I don't know. The scripture tells it that he just loves him, and there was something about him. Of course, he was blinded to what his own condition was. He was like, you know, you and I walking around, not knowing that we could be walking around with cancer in us, but he had this cancer. So he seems sincere. They have this talk. He tries to follow the law of Moses. And he says, I really am trying to do it. And Jesus is just like, oh, now here comes the test. Are you ready? Do you want to know if you're healthy? We're going to get into that list in a minute. But here's one of them right away. He says, okay, this is what I want you to do then. I want you to take all your money and your investments in oil and the Lakers and the Celtics and all the ball teams you own and all the land you own and all the yachts you own and all the cabins you own and all the boats you own, and I want you to sell. You want me to do what? Sell it all. Give it away. Come and follow me. Al, I think he... I understand. I'm not going to throw rocks at the guy. I'm not doing that. No, I mean, doesn't that seem a little outrageous to you as a human? It's okay. You don't lie in church. I know what you're thinking. It's like, wow! I don't know if the guy would have agreed to do it if Jesus would actually have made him do that or not. I think it was a test to see where his true priorities and loyalties were. We'll never know, because he walks away and Jesus said, man, it is hard to unyoke yourself from something that has power over you. What are the things that have power over us that make us unhealthy to have relationships with anybody? Boy, that's a long discussion. So 2 Corinthians 6 just says, don't be unequally yoked. That means don't become attached to anything. Don't become attached to any person that will replace Christ and a higher priority. There's no way that you can have a healthy relationship. I'm going to go, and you've heard this before, but you need to hear it again. Even the person you love the most, it's Christ first. When couples are struggling, the principle is true. The choice is theirs. And I understand that it takes both of them to get there. One might be very willing to do it, and the other may not be, and it doesn't work because it takes the three. But even if... if both people are struggling, the best way they could get their relationship back on track is to get all staring at each other and to stare at Christ. Because the closer they get to the cross, they'll find themselves in unity. It's hard to tell people that, to believe it, because all they want to do is pick, 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 pick. She did, he said, she did, on, back, 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 back. The cross is never, we're in there at all. You have to lay down your spears and your weapons and seek the Lord. That's a healthy relationship. So I want to kind of walk through that a little bit and ask the question, how do you know? That's just for you and me. How do we know that we're in a healthy relationship with Jesus and that it is healthy? Well, real quick, all right? First thing is you're saved. That's where it starts. So if you're not saved, if you haven't come to the place where you have trusted Christ alone for your salvation, the Bible is calling you, urging you, begging you, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin and its penalty. Because way back in the beginning, our parents, our first parents, sinned, and the separation came. Christ provided for that separation to be mended through his shed blood on the cross, death, burial, and resurrection. And the only way to get back into relationship with the Father is through the Son. If you want to have a relationship with God the Father, you have got to go through His Son. There is no other salvation. There's no other name given to us whereby we must be saved. It's Christ and Christ alone. Are you saved today? That's where it starts. So say, you see, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's another way you know that you're healthy, that you deal with the sin in your life. I like that phrase because we know that we sin. Isn't that what 1 John talks about? We know that we sin. So I'm not going to get into all that. We all sin. There it is. But are you dealing with it? Because it's unthinkable for a follower of Jesus Christ to continue in sin like no big deal. I don't care. What are you talking about? That's not healthy at all. You have, if any, a very small relationship, and the only relationship you have is because God's holding on to you. You have nothing to do with Him. It's not healthy. I love this verse. If we are in the light, as He in His light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we confess our sins, we will be cleansed from them. You're healthy when you deal with sin in your life, okay? There's no sinless perfection. There's confession of sin that we struggle with. Actually, in 7:1 kind of deals with that when he talks about cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit, bring holiness to completion in the fear of God. That's the idea of confessing our sins to God. Next one, real quick. You have confidence in who you are in Jesus Christ. You have confidence in who you are. I say this because the struggles that all of us can have at every level, whether you're a baby Christian, you've been a Christian a long time, sometimes we really struggle with who we are in Jesus Christ, and it's a mental, spiritual fight. Emotional gets dragged in there. You just struggle with, am I saved? Am I lost? Does God love me? Is He listening to me? You go on and on and on. These are natural. Don't beat yourself up for that. Beat yourself up for staying there. That's the point. I mean, we all follow that. At times it comes pouring into our head, but you know you have a healthy relationship with God when you don't live there. That just means you're trusting in this relationship. God, you believing in Him and you're following in Him, and even in those valleys that come into your life, you don't give up. You don't just say, I'm dead. That's it. God doesn't listen to me anymore. Boy, I'll tell you what, just some of the things that have been happening. Just watching the news this past week in our own state and around the nation and world, you're just going, dear God, I can see why people would just fall into despair. When I heard the news of that 24-year-old police officer getting killed, my heart just fell, boom, down. 24, I think I got it right. Maybe he was 23. I don't know. He was young. I thought, how in the world? I could see where a parent would be so upset. And that's where I go when I hear that news. I say, if it was my son, that would be hard, wouldn't it? God understands. But we don't stay there because our Father walks with us through that valley. And He brings the brothers and sisters in Christ to pick us up when we can't even walk. And they carry us. That's how you know. Not because you're perfect or you're always thinking the right thing, but you don't want to stay there. And you desire, you have this confidence in who you are in Christ. Another way that we know is just the open confession. We're not ashamed. Was it Paul who said in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He wasn't afraid to talk about it with his Lord, or with anybody. I challenge all of you, try it this week. I want to hear the stories, because when I do it, I try these things too. I just don't ask you to do it. And God always puts me in the weirdest places, right? With the strangest situations. I say, okay, Lord, the next opportunity I get, I'm going to find a way to somehow get into a spiritual conversation to bring up the Lord. And He always does it in the craziest places. I didn't hit them all. I failed a couple. You're not going to throw me out of the church, are you?
I didn't follow through with one because it happened so fast, and I was half listening to the guy. It was in Walmart, and he was trying to help me find something, and then I guess got busy and left, and I said, Lord, I didn't do it. But then I did with the next one. So that happens. It's okay. It's all right. 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 Try it. It really, you start making a habit of it. You'll do it naturally. Sharing. Another way that you know you're in a healthy relationship with God is by digging into the Word of God and obeying it. You can't keep what you don't know. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Okay, what are they? Well, I have no idea. You'd be surprised how many people don't know the Bible. Do you know it? Are you in it? Are you digging? That's a healthy thing. Before they had cell phones, and that year did exist, you guys know that, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, the landlines. And then even, how many of you had the ones where they shared? It was like with the whole street or block. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you've aged yourself pretty good. Yeah, yeah. So we weren't able to immediately always call our boyfriends or girlfriends or our friends. We'll just say our friends. Yeah, and could be somebody on the line. Same old lady that's been on the line for the last hour and a half talking to her aunt across the country. And you just want to say, I'm okay, hang up. Just does that. You see, because when you love someone, you want to talk to them. You want to be with them. You go out of your way to make sure that you see them in the hallway or that you happen to be at the same place at the same time. That's what it is by digging into the Word. That's what that's all about. Here's the big one, back to the relationships. This is a big one, to know that you have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. It's your love for others. Now, I put Christians up there, but I could have just put people. It would have been biblical as well. Scriptures have those commands, right? Love one another. He even says love your enemies, so we can just put love. I know that you have a healthy relationship with God, and I have a healthy relationship with God when I am able to love. And we have to define love, don't we? Because it's so distorted in our culture. We have to understand what that means. That means interacting with others for their good, to bring them to a right relationship with God. I can do that. I can do that. There are other kinds of loves and levels of loves. That's not what we're dealing with this morning. I can love someone, even the strangest, weirdest people like me. You can love me. It's possible. And an evidence of that, we have a right, healthy relationship with Christ, is that we love one another. Isn't that, though, a condemning principle for the church today? Most of us are church people. We may have some visitors here. I'm glad you're here. Love you to come back and be a part. Think just for a moment. Go back and think of all the things, choices that people made that weren't based on love, that have created so many to leave. It's not the reason why. All the reasons why people leave. People can leave for great reasons, super reasons, called and move and whatever, but you know what I'm talking about. And I think about that, and I think how that is a ploy of Satan, because he wants to attack the relationships. He wants to attack those relationships. Now, in the context of 2 Corinthians, it was the false teaching that Paul was dealing with, and that was busting up the relationships that they had with one another. Because one guy was preaching one thing, Paul was preaching something else, and they'd go back into the breakfast in the morning, and they're fighting over theology, and it becomes into a terrible argument, and they don't want to talk to each other. Satan doesn't care. He's happy and rejoicing. He's just got it done. And so Paul is seeing these relationships with God being messed up because they're getting wrong teaching. And then he's also seeing relationships with one another getting messed up. And that's why this principle is so important. You and I can only have true, healthy relationships with anybody if God is in the formula. He must be. He's got to be. That doesn't mean you can't have a right relationship
with an unsaved person. That's not what I'm saying. You can have a right relationship with an unsaved person. And I've talked about that already, so we don't have to go over that. But you can't have a healthy one until we are in, united together, underneath the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what brings us to faith. That's what brings us to a body. So I don't know about you, but if you are tired of being yoked to the wrong thing, all right? Anybody tired of that? Tired of that dragged down feeling spiritually? Are there any yokes that you need to break today? Anything going on in your life? Habits? Thoughts? Well, the answer and the solution is simple. Come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Why don't we pray together? Heads bowed and your eyes closed. Just do a little inventory in your own heart this morning and ask the question about, do I have healthy relationships in my life? And that starts off with your relationship with God. How is your walk with God this morning? You answer that question right now in your heart. How is your walk? Well, let's find out. With that, now ask yourself, how is the walk? How is my relationship with those around me? And I'm not asking how people are treating you, because we can't control what people do. I'm asking, how are you treating people? Even those who want to mistreat you, what is your response to that? You don't have to be their best friend. You don't have to hang around them all the time, but your attitude, your heart, is it love? Is it centered to help them to know the love of God in Christ Jesus? I hope so. And if there's any other things that you are yoked to this morning, now, I didn't get into a whole list there. We didn't have time, but there might be some things that you are involved in that you know you shouldn't be. I know things in my life I have to deal with. I call on you and I urge you this morning to confess that to God. He already knows about it anyway. And say, God, with your help, the help of my brothers and sisters, I want to break that yoke. And God will answer that prayer, because that's according to his will. And he will help. Father, I pray as we end our time today that decisions that we're making in our heart even now will transform our lives and those around us. That it will transform this body, that we will be a congregation that humbly walks because we realize we are sinners saved by the grace of God. And because of that, we walk humbly, not arrogantly. We walk gratefully, but we think redemptively as we interact with people and with the things we do. So Lord, use us today and this week as we move out into the community and into the world to love them and to bring the love of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, to them. And if there's anyone here this morning, Father, that has not made that decision to you, has not trusted in you, I pray even now, they will open their heart. They will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. For Christ died for their sins and the sins of the whole world. He died for my sins, and they're trusting in him alone. In the name of Christ, amen.